The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Today, I want to share with you from the Word a portion of the high priestly prayer of Jesus that's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and in particular, looking at just a few verses from 13 to 19. This, of course, is one of the final prayers of Jesus before he ends his mission on earth, and he passes the baton on to his disciples to continue his mission. And that's significant because today my message, my theme for you is living life on mission. How do we live our lives as Jesus lived his life, as though on a mission from God? And it's from this prayer that we see Jesus calling us and praying for us about living life on mission, because he teaches us by praying that just as he was sent by the Father, so he sends us. And that's my theme. That's what I want us to keep in mind this morning, living life on mission as Jesus lived his life on mission. John 17, 13 through 19. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Again, from verse 18. As you sent me into the world, Father, I have sent them into the world. This is the word of the Lord. One of the newest churches in Metro Philadelphia is a church called Bridge Community. The church planner is Angelo Giuliani. He was sent out from New Life Glenside to plant a church in the Cheltenham, Melrose Park, Elkins Park area of the city. They rent a facility at a Jewish synagogue on 5th and Cheltenham Avenue. And it's a very interesting place to go and worship when you walk into the synagogue and see all the furnishings and paraphernalia of Jewish worship. It takes you a little while to get oriented to the fact that what's going on there, at least on Sunday morning, is the high praise of the Messiah Jesus. So Bridge Community is one of the brand newest churches in the PCA and in the Philadelphia Presbytery. I took note of their motto immediately. It's found inside the bulletin. It's on a banner beneath the stage. You'll see it on the internet website. The motto of this new church, being led by their church planner, Angelo Giuliani, is this: a church on a lifelong mission trip together. In other words, they want to walk together as a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a church that is living their lives on a mission trip. On a mission trip. I was really drawn toward that theme because I think within it, it captures the very essence of what Jesus prayed for in this prayer, that his disciples and his church would understand that we have been sent by him on mission, just as or in the same way Jesus was sent by the Father on mission. For Bridge Community Church, that means that they not only have mission trips during the summer where they send teams of people to places like Swaziland in South Africa and in Guatemala, But even when they're here, at home, so to speak, they realize that they continue to walk together on a mission trip. So their mission field is not just over there, it's also right here in places like Cheltenham, Melrose Park, Elkins Park, and Oak Lane. Wherever they are, wherever they go, they are on mission together because of Jesus Christ. Now, we have a tendency to dichotomize or separate the idea of mission, that mission is something that you have to cross an ocean to do, or you have to go far from home to do. Sometimes it's difficult to get people to take mission trips, if they're in Philadelphia, to take mission trips into the city of Philadelphia. They'd prefer to go to Los Angeles or Houston, because there's some sense in which we want to say that mission is something that's far or distant. And yet if we follow what Jesus prays and teaches out of this prayer, we realize that we, like he, are on mission every day, everywhere, all the time. So what does it look like to live life on mission? What do we learn about that from the way Jesus prays, especially in verse 18? Here he prays that and teaches us that we are sent just as he was sent. As you sent me, Father, I have sent them. We realize that Jesus was on mission from the day he was born. And his mission was not fulfilled, at least for him, until the day he ascended into heaven. Even before he was born, he was to be named Jesus as an indication that his mission would be coming to save his people for their sins. Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Repeatedly, he told his disciples that he was here on the earth to be crucified, to be buried, and then to be raised again on the third day. Jesus had this mindset of being on mission, constantly, perpetually, always, and everywhere. So just as he was sent, we have been sent. What does that mean? Well, there are a couple of clues, even from the rest of what we see in this portion of the high priestly prayer, that indicate what does it mean or look like for us to be sent as Jesus was sent on mission. First, it means that we are sent as he was sent, with a new orientation. We have a new orientation to the world and life. Jesus, of course, was sent from heaven to earth. He was oriented to heaven. Heaven was his home, where the Father is. So Jesus belonged. And so as he's sent by the Father to earth, his orientation is from heaven to earth. Earth is not his home. Earth is his mission field. Earth is the place to which he has been sent to minister and bring about salvation. And Christ, wherever he went, wherever he spoke, wherever his feet would take him, whatever he did, he was faced with constant reminders that this earth was not his home, but rather, as long as he was here, he was on mission and on the mission field. And everything he saw reminded him that he was the Son of God, and that he was sent to be on mission from the Father. Just as he was sent, so also have we been sent, with a new orientation. The Bible tells us that by grace through faith, we have been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so too, we have a new orientation to our lives and to this earth, the world in which we live. This is no longer our home. Heaven is our home. Earth, for us, is what it was for Jesus, a mission field, a place where he sends us and keeps us to be about the Father's business. Twice in this brief portion of the prayer, Jesus says, "They are not of this world. They are not of this world." The followers of Jesus Christ are otherworldly. We are out of this world. And so everything about us has to be oriented to the new reality, the new identity that we have been given by grace as the adopted sons and daughters of God. Think about the way the Bible describes the Christian. Aliens, strangers, citizens of heaven, sojourners. We are passers-by. We are on a journey, sent just as Jesus was sent to live our lives everywhere, every day, all the time, on mission. So we are sent with this new orientation. We are also sent as Jesus was sent into a hostile place. To say that Jesus was sent into a hostile place is a great understatement. Everywhere he went, he found resistance, he found confrontation, contradiction, rejection. Ultimately, as he moved on a long time in his mission, he confronted injustice, abuse, wrongful trials, brutal death, and burial. Everything about Jesus' mission tells us that he was sent by the Father into a hostile place. And this hostile place, of course, is the world. Not speaking simply of the earth, the globe, the physical environment of this present world, but also about the whole system of things which has fallen and is in contradiction to the will and word of God. That was the place into which Jesus was sent, and so he sends us. Those who would dare to follow Jesus and live their lives on mission will soon discover that they, like he, are sent into a hostile place. There's physical hostility, isn't there? Today we live with the reality of terrorism, campus violence, murder in the streets of Philadelphia. This is a hostile place. But that wasn't even what Jesus was speaking about when he prayed about this hostility. He prays to the Father saying the world already hates them. That's an inconvenient truth. The world already hates them. Even as he sends his first century disciples out to preach the gospel, they are confronting the hostility of the world and the environment in which the gospel would be proclaimed. And then he prays in this prayer, Father, protect them from the evil one. Jesus' prayer isn't that we would be protected against physical violence. Jesus' prayer was that we would be protected against the spiritual hostility and the spiritual opposition that confronts the very mission of the gospel. We may, in fact, be taken on mission into dangerous places. So Jesus prays for us that we would be protected from the evil one. Boy, you know, it is so dangerous, morally and spiritually speaking, to do gospel ministry these days. We live in troubled times. I'm told that the dropout rate in pastoral ministry today has never been greater. And many of those dropouts are dropping out because of moral failure, ethical compromise. I've served three senior pastors as an associate in my ministry time, my ministry profession, three. The first one retired honorably and died of natural causes. The second one resigned from the ministry after his family fell apart. The third one was excommunicated from the church after he left his wife to chase a woman he met on the internet. And that's just in the PCA. We live in hostile, dangerous times for those who would dare to pursue pastoral ministry and live life on mission. And that's why Jesus pleads with his Father, Father, protect them from the evil one. Protect those who would dare to go out into these dangerous places and live life as though on a mission from God. And so we go, as Jesus goes with a new orientation, we go into a hostile place. But the other thing we learn from this prayer is that Jesus sends us with a powerful message. Just as Jesus was sent with a powerful message, so also we are sent with a powerful message. He prays and he says, Father, I have given them your word. Jesus comes, of course, not only speaking the word of God, but living as the incarnate word of God. Jesus comes not only speaking prophetically, but in fulfillment of the prophets. Jesus comes not only as a messenger from heaven, but the very message of heaven itself. Everywhere he goes, everywhere he speaks, everything he does proclaims the coming of the kingdom with great and life-changing power. He is sent with a powerful message, and he himself is the powerful message. So as Christ is sent, so we are sent with a powerful message. I have given them your word. It would be cruel for Jesus to send us into such a hostile world, a hostile place, without the appropriate protection and without the appropriate weapons that we need. But fortunately, Jesus sends us just as he was sent, fully armed and loaded for the battle we will face as we live out our lives on mission. We are reminded by Paul that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. I have a tendency to forget what I know about the power of the gospel. And what I know is just a small fraction of it. I tend toward reduction. But all I need to do to rediscover the power of the gospel to change lives is to reflect upon the power of the gospel and its work in my life. My testimony is that I grew up in an unchurched, unsaved home, pretty far away from the opportunity to hear and understand the gospel, reasonably speaking. I was lost and I was a broken young man. If that pattern in life had continued uninterrupted by God's grace, I would have been put in my high school yearbook as least likely to be saved. And yet, the gospel is so powerful, it broke through. And it broke through to me in a way that I bear witness simply by standing before you this morning. The gospel is more powerful than I've yet to realize. And this is the gospel message, the message that has changed my life, the message that is changing your life. This is the message that he has given to us as he sends us on mission, to live our lives on mission from God. So we have everything we need to be effective as the servant missionaries of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus prays, Father, just as you sent me, I have sent them. We are sent with a new orientation. We're sent into a hostile place, but we're sent with a powerful message, a message that guarantees victory. Now, before we conclude, I just want to reflect a little bit more on the implications of what we've learned from Jesus' prayer this morning. I've already said that I believe that those who would dare to enter into pastoral ministry, those who would dare to live their lives on mission as Jesus did, enter into places and in an environment that is very complicated, that is increasingly resistant, and that has more challenges than perhaps at any other time in this nation's history for the mission of the gospel. My mentor and good friend Bill Crispin has suggested that of all the buildings, all the church buildings that have been built in the city of Philadelphia, approximately 80% of those church buildings are no longer being used by the congregations that built them. What that means is that the congregations that built them have either moved out of the city, and many have, or they've closed down completely. And in closing down, they bear witness to the difficulty and complexity of doing gospel ministry in America's modern cities. In some cases, those church buildings are being used by restaurants. Some have been converted into office buildings, and a few are even being used as mosques. Eddie Gibbs has said in his book, Church Next, about the future of the church in the world and in the United States in particular, any local church is only one generation away from extinction. In other words, if any church fails to reach this generation for Jesus Christ, it has no guarantee that the church will exist in the generation to come. Now, I know Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but that is not a promise that any local church will survive if it fails to live on mission. In other words, only missional churches, only churches that are populated by members who have the mindset of Jesus, only congregations that own and accept the mission and the mission field in which God has placed them can have a sense of hope for the future in this hostile and complex environment. Pastors must be seen not merely as teachers, preachers, and caregivers, but pastors today, more than any other day, must be seen as missionary team leaders whose responsibility it is to train and lead their congregation onto the mission field of their community on a persistent basis. And church members must be more than simply learners and participants in the internal ministries of the congregation. They must see themselves as mission team members who, together with the pastor, are taking part in the propagation and extension of the gospel of the kingdom, living their lives on a mission from God. Because Jesus prayed for us. He asked that the Father would do this in us and through us. He prayed, Father, as you sent me, so also I send them. Let us pray. Father, we pray, as Jesus prayed, that you would protect us from the evil one, that you would remind us that you have given us your word, and more than these things, that you would fill us with a sense that as we follow Jesus Christ, we follow him onto his mission field, sharing his mission in the power of his Spirit, proclaiming a gospel which is our victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.